What's good? My name is Chris Dallas. It's Trapping Anonymous. Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody that's been supporting the movement and keeping us moving. It has been just a wonderful, wonderful time getting people's story out to the forefront and bringing those topics that we don't usually get to shed a lot of light on and talk about in our communities and things that plague our communities, but we getting the opportunity to really get to it and change some lives. And, you know, this work has just been... It's been wonderful for me. It's been really gratifying, and I feel like we're doing the Lord's work here. So we're just gonna continue doing that, and I'm bringing you the stories that you love. Do remember that the stories that you hear do not necessarily reflect real life. They're here to entertain, educate, or just keep your little homie off the streets. My name is Chris Dallas, Trapping Anonymous. Yo, if you want some merch, we got the merch too, man. We got a lot of things going on, man. Keep sharing, keep liking, keep commenting on those Apple podcasts. Make sure you rate us and you download and just anything you could do to just keep sharing our story. We really appreciate that. My name is Chris Styles. Let's get it. How are you today?
Hey, I'm great. I'm good.
I like to jump right into my interviews.
Right.
Talk to me about the day you lost your baby girl.
The day I lost her, that was the day, like, my whole life changed, like, permanently. Like, you know, she was murdered. She was beaten to death by my ex-boyfriend. My ex-boyfriend, he killed her, like, everything in her stomach, her liver, her pancreas, everything was busted open, so.
Why did he have her that day?
So, when we met, she was about 3 to 4 months. So when we met, you know, he took that role on, like, being her father. Not right then and there, but, like, you know, my friends, I have a best friend, Vanesia, and my other best friend at the time, they grilled him, I remember that, and they asked him all the questions, he answered everything right, you know, so as we went on, he took that role of being, you know, my daughter's father, because her father was in the picture, but, you know, not maybe as much as he should have been, so he lived with me at the time, so he took on the role, he would babysit her and things like that. So that was the reason why, you know, she was with him that night, because it wasn't like it was a first time thing. This was regular. He would watch her while I go to school. He would meet me at my cousin Aisha's house, sit there with her for hours, wait for me, and I would go pick him up, or I'd pick her up, or whatever the case may be. So it wasn't a regular thing. He was with her because that was a regular thing, right? So, but, you know, fast forward that night, my mom was, she did bouncing. She did bouncing at Club Envy. She worked with DJs, DJ Envy, all of that. Yeah, so.
This month?
Yes.
Okay.
So she was a bouncer back then, and mm-hmm. she was trying to get, like, a little small security team in a spot. Like, you know, the little low-key Jamaican spots, mm-hmm. Jerome and the Bronx or whatever the case may be. So she was trying to get the team in the building or whatever, so she was like, let's go out, I'm gonna take you and your friends out. So that's how he ended up with her.
Okay, so you ask him to watch her, which is a regular occurrence.
Yes.
What happens next? Before you drop her off, did you sense anything? Was there a gut feeling, or just was this like any other night?
No, it was just like any other night. He came, you know, actually, what I remember is that night he came, my mother called him in the room and said, oh, could you watch, you know, Nani while we go out? He came out, he said yes. Mm. Okay, I'm like, okay, because I didn't want to ask him.
How old was she at the time?
She was going to be 2, so 22 months.
22 months,
yes.
Very young.
Very young. Like,
you asked him to see your baby girl one more time before you left?
Yes.
What made you say that?
Because that was the second time I had to go back up. But the first time, my friends, we were all leaving, he helped us get dressed. They all kissed her because my daughter was really loved. She was like the baby of the hood. Like, she was the hood baby for real.
So yeah.
Everybody loved her. So they were kissing her and, oh, bye, you know, see you later, Nani. I forgot. I didn't, because we were rushing out. Mm-hmm. So I didn't. So that's what made me ask. Like, when I went upstairs to get my mother's card, I was like, oh, shit, let me kiss her before we left. But he was on some, no, she's going to wake up. Like, she's gonna wake up. You know how she is. All my kids are mama's babies, so you know how she is. They can't go nowhere. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. I got the family downstairs. Let me just rush down.
When he said that, do you think that he had already?
Looking back at it, from now, yes. But like right then and there, I had no clue. I mean, I felt, what I will say is, I felt something a little bit because he was telling my neighbor, he's a DJ, he was coming up with his equipment, so he heard us in the hallway, E-Cash or whatever, and he was like, oh, I'm gonna come down the hallway, and I'm like, how are you gonna go down the hallway, and you still got my daughter here, you know? He's like, oh, I'm talking about when Jerry comes, that's my mom's ex-husband who's now passed. And he popped in the hallway, like, so fast, you know, like, oh, like, you know, like a child that's doing something and they, like, hear their mother come in. So they
Right. You just scurry real
quick. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? Like, what? So once he was like, no, I'm talking about, you know, when Jerry come, I'm like, okay, let's just go in the house. So, but I did, like, it was kind of weird, but not, I just wouldn't think he would do nothing like that, so.
Okay. When you come back home.
Yes.
What happens? How do you find out? Was it a call? Did you come to the house? How did you?
Oh, at the spot, we get to the spot already. We for like an hour, we dancing, enjoying ourselves, me and my friends. My mom is over there conversing with the dreadheads or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she's conversing with them. And what had happened that day? I don't remember. Oh, he texts me, like, does my daughter sleep with her eyes open? Now, I sleep with my eyes. We all family sleep with a little bit, open, shut. So I'm like, yeah, she's fine. Why? What? He's like, oh, no, she's breathing or whatever the case may be. But I call him, and I'm like, you know, what's going on? He's like, oh, no, she's breathing, stupid, like, you know. Yeah. I'm like, okay, well, I'm about to come home because now I'm feeling something crazy.
It's like, what?
Like, well, I'm about to come home because you talking about you throwing up. That's another thing. He said, oh, I'm throwing up. And I'm like, you throwing up. You talk about, does my daughter see her eyes open? She look a little sick. I'm coming home. That's when he's calling me now. No, it's like I hung up, but now he's calling me. I'm trying to call him. Our lines are crossing. When I put my phone down to try to call again because our lines were crossing, that's when I saw, call me, Nani's not breathing. And I was like, what?
What did you feel at that exact moment? If you could remember.
I froze. I remember me freezing, looking at my phone like, what? And I just ran inside, ran past my friends. I told my mother first. She was talking. I told my mother first. She came. And then I told my friends, we just jetted. Like, to this day, we probably done left shoes, money, everything, because we just jetted. She's on the phone telling him, go knock on the next door neighbor's door. Mm-hmm. She's a nurse. He did not do that. What he did was I called 911 from where we was at, Jerome Avenue. I'm the one that called 911. Now, my mom's husband is there, and he didn't know anything until ambulance started being boop, 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 unresponsive baby.
What?
He's like, what?
And this is the gentleman that passed already?
Yes, Jerry, yes.
Okay. So you get to the house or you go straight to the hospital?
I get out the elevator, but I pop back in the elevator because my best friend is like, go back downstairs. Like, she's on her way down and already they already took her down. So I didn't even get to see his face, nothing. Like, the last time I saw his face was that time when I went back upstairs. Like, I pop back in and I just hop back in the ambulance truck. All the way to the Jacoby. Yeah.
So your friend was telling you to not go into the room, to just go into the ambulance to go straight to the hospital?
To the hospital, yes.
Do you see your daughter while you're in the ambulance?
Yes. My mom got in, you know, two came. My mom got in the one that didn't have nobody, but lo and behold, I got into the one where my daughter was in.
Okay. What was the look on her face? Did you feel like she was already gone or did you feel like there was hope?
At that point in time, I felt like it was hope in there because they were, you know, what I do remember is me looking back, like kept looking back, like seeing them, you know, pumping her chest, whatever, trying to revive her. That's all I seen. But in my head, deep down inside, because my godmother, she's a pastor, so I'm always
praying,
God, family, praying, like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Yeah.
And I was just praying, like, oh, I pray, you know, this is not it. Like, I just pray when we get there, you know, they say, you know, they took care of her and she's fine.
Okay. You get to the hospital.
Yes.
and you find out she's not okay. Talk to me about that moment.
So what I can remember is them and Jacoby just, you know, pumping her, like I said. We go in the waiting area, what they call it, a grievance room. Mm-hmm. I don't see her no more. So when the nurse come back in, she's saying, you know how they come and they tell you, oh, we did A, B, and C, we did everything. I still had hope at that time.
You're still not thinking the
words. Her last words, I was hoping she was saying, when she said, and, I'm like, okay, and we like, what, and what? Like, okay, we could go upstairs. That's what I'm thinking, like, we about to go upstairs to go see her. She's like, and she didn't make it. And I just heard my grandmother screaming, me, I threw up all black stuff. I don't know what it was. I just threw up all black stuff, just was throwing up. I couldn't believe it. Like, I couldn't really believe it. Like, I could not believe it. Like, I was just like, what? So I call him, because now they take me to go identify her body there. So I go in, it's a bunch of red dots all over her body, all over her stomach. Me, I don't know, you know, she was very light-skinned. So I'm like, she breaks out. Me, I think I'm still in denial, you know, now that I look back. Because I'm like, oh, no, that been there, she breaks out. Like, he didn't do, like, nothing. I don't know, what is that, you know? And then, but I also called him, like, what the hell is going on? Why?
He didn't even come?
No. He didn't come because I believe the police was holding him, because he tried to blame it on my mother's boyfriend. My mother's boyfriend, he was a quiet dreadhead. The whole hood knew him. Nobody messed with him or whatever, because he was quiet. So he tried to blame it on him, though, and say, oh, it was him. And then he tried to say, they found my daughter. My daughter's face was in a leather couch. All my kids are bright as hell. Like, right. I'm like, my daughter didn't do that. Any kid would know. You know, if you cannot breathe, if you suffer, you move your head. That's any human. So I was like, that couldn't be. So even the cops knew it was bullshit, the detective. So they kept him there. He couldn't go nowhere anyway.
They kept him at the house?
Yes. It was now a crime scene there.
Okay. Those 24 hours, what is your mental state? How are you? What's happening? What's going on, if you could remember?
My mental state was on froze. I'm not going to even lie to you. Like, I was on froze. I just couldn't understand what the hell was going on. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel real for me. I just felt like maybe she's at her father's house. Maybe her father or her grandmother took her great-grandmother or something. Like, those 24 hours was crazy. I was under the first 48. Yes, I was. Yes, I was under the first 48.
Wow.
And also him, too, but because, you know, that was my partner. They wanted to make sure it wasn't no funny business.
Wow.
But I was under the first 48, all my friends, everybody came, you know.
Wow.
I'm known, I'm well known. So everybody came out to support, because everybody knew I wouldn't do nothing like that. Like,
wow.
So, yeah, my mental state was off those first 24 hours.
How long ago was this?
This was in 2010, so I want to say she would have been 15, so.
15.
She would have been 15, so I'm trying to think. I think it was about, what, 14. You see, like, it's not like I forget it, but it's like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, me, I don't say I don't have no emotion after that, but it's kind of like that. Like, so I don't forget the years, but I just be off, because it's just like, I gotta remember how old she was, how long ago, and I really don't want to remember that.
It's like sometimes our mind just tries to protect us and block out
very much
things so
that,
that we don't have to live with that trauma over and over. Do you ever like have dreams about her, or how old she would have been, or like see her in an older state, or
crazy
still see her as
thing
a baby?
Is she's never came to me in my dream.
Wow.
But I do like have thoughts, like sometimes, like, you know, like I have my cousin, we are close. We're more like sisters, Aisha. She has her kids, her two kids. They were born all around the same time. Mm-hmm. So my daughter would have been 15. My little cousin just turned 16. And my other little cousin just turned 17. So when I see them, I get very emotional, because they were close. I have a picture of them all three in the stroller looking bad as hell at like 3, 4 years old. Yeah. And they always post her, you know, so they also remind me too. Like, they always post her, and wow. I look at them, and I just get, you know, emotional. So I don't dream about her, but certain things like that, I see little kids, you know, like that.
Okay, so let's go back to this man. When do they realize that this is blunt force trauma to the body, that your baby was beaten to death?
While we was under the first 48, we were waiting for an autopsy. Mm-hmm. So I would say in like 72 hours, maybe. Oh, 48 hours, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. That's when they found out, because a detective came to me. He gave me a speech I'll never forget, and he said, you know, I know you lost your daughter, but today it might be like you losing two people, because if that thing comes back and says A, B, and C, he's gonna go to jail for life. And I just broke down crying, because it's like, I had my mom, of course, but she had her, you know, she was already going through it too. So I didn't have nobody to like really, you know, I had my friends, but they have their own life.
Did you have any more kids at the time?
No.
So this was your...
It was my first daughter.
Oh, my goodness.
My very first child, and I had her at 17.
17 years old.
My mom had me 11 days before her birthday, and I had my daughter 11 days after. So okay. Their birthday is on the same day.
Okay. How much time does he get? Does he get time? Does he go to jail? What happened?
We went to court for about like a year or two. The sentence he got was 18 years plus 5 years supervision. Now, when I look it up, it says that 2023, either next year or the year after, he can go up for parole. But we're not going to let that happen. I'm not going to let that happen. But he can go up for parole, and then if he does, you know, he gets set free. And then I think he's like on parole for the rest of the years. Plus the five that they said he had to do if he does the full 18.
Right.
He still had 5 years to be on parole.
Was there ever a conversation? Did you ever speak to him again? Did you ever hear from him again? Did he ever write you? Was there an apology? Was there an admission of guilt?
Nope.
Nothing?
Nope. Nothing at all.
It was just, this is the last time I see or hear from this person. And realistically, we're talking about he's up for parole in a year. Mm-hmm. This man could be home.
Yes. That's one of the things that's one of the things I think about too. Like, you know, what if this, you know, what if this nigga come home? You know, like, what's gonna happen? Because I know I'm not, I can, you know, I could control myself, but it's gonna be hard. You know, suppose I see him in the street. He can't go nowhere, you know, because he's under 5 years supervision if he's on parole. So it's like, I'm bound to see him in the street. But like I said, I'm well known, so. Right.
This might be an odd question, but did you ever miss him? Because this guy, you were in a relationship with him. You mm-hmm. guys, you were dating. This was somebody that you were intimate with. Right. Or did your relationship with him go cold turkey, cut off? I don't give a fuck about him no more.
I would say both. But what I will say is, like, I never, you the first one I shared this with, but I've never, in the beginning, yes, I was like, damn, like, I couldn't get, you know, register, like, he would really do that, you know? He took care of her, like, his bathe. He was even bathing her.
Wow.
So. Yeah, so I was just like, at first for a while, yeah, I was like, damn, I miss him. I don't even got nobody to console me or nothing right now because he gone. But then after a while, you know, it drifted away. Mm-hmm. I had a tattoo right here of his name, and it's so crazy. I got it a month before he killed my daughter. And the tattoo guy said, it was just a drunk thing. He's like, oh, they got a new tattoo parlor up the block. Let's go and, you know. He had a tattoo. I got his name. The tattoo guy says to me, most people, not, you know, thinking that, but he was like, you'll be back in a month. The people always get it changed. You know, people go through things. They always get things.
And you were young. You were 17 years old.
So. And I got his name, and I got a cover. So once I got that covered, because you know, going through things. You know, girls are catty, females are catty. That they always brought that up. Oh, you still got a nigga name on your chest who killed your daughter.
Wow.
So then I'm finally like, you know what? I'm about to get this covered because I don't really got time for it. But yeah, so after a while, it drifted away.
How old was he?
He, at that time, he was 23. So I was 17. Oh, no, I was like, yeah, at that time when he killed my daughter, I was 18 or going on 18, and he was 23.
So he was dealing with you as a minor?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Do you ever blame yourself?
Sometimes. Sometimes I think about it and I just be like, you know, as a mother, you just be like, damn, how could I, how did I not see anything? You know, like, how did I not see the red flags or whatever, or was there any? So yeah, sometimes I used to, but you know, I'm stronger than ever now. You know, I don't let that get to me. So many, you know, people has blamed me already, like, you know, and said things, you know, females, like I said, females are catty, family members said, oh, you know, that things like, well, at least this one got their kid, you know, things. Wow. He told my mom, you should have been in the grave with your granddaughter. So, you know, now I'm stronger than ever. You can't really get to me with that. But before, yeah, I used to like really believe what people were saying.
Do you forgive him?
No. And I know I'm a God-fearing person, you know. My godmother, she probably would be like, you know, you know what I tell you about God and forgiveness, but no. And I believe that that's why maybe I have, like, I have trouble with, like, relationships and men. Like, me with men, I'm the one, I'm a dog, you, I talk to you any kind of way, you know, just like that.
Till this day.
Till this day, yes. I have issues in relationships. Like, they don't last long because I'm either, you know, you, basically you can't tell me what to do. And then also, too, you know, I feel like I don't care if you leave or stay because I be telling niggas, like, yo, nigga, I lost my daughter. Like, you think I give a care if you going today? And that's really me. Like, if I talk to you and we stop talking today, a friendship, anything, it's like, okay. And they, you will not hear from me. They will have to hit me up for, because I, it's like, I already, like, what, it's not, I always tell a guy, you can't hurt me no more than that nigga did, because he took my baby. So it's like, yeah.
How do you feel about stepfathers?
How do I feel about stepfathers?
Yeah, and stepfather situations where guys come in and you know, watch. Because I remember when back when I was dating, I never met women's children.
Right.
And I also made sure that if a woman had a child,
right,
I wouldn't get too close to her because I didn't have children yet. So I knew that I didn't want to start a family with someone who already started a family.
Right.
So that's why I asked you, what do you feel, what is your stance on sort of the stepfather situation, introducing somebody to your kids and, you know, things of that nature?
That's something, too, I have an issue with, like, how I feel about that is, you know, I think it's a beautiful thing when you can find a man that loves you and your kids genuinely, though, daily. But for me, it's hard because I'm always thinking somebody's doing something to my kid because of that. Family members, anything. I'm always thinking the worst for my kids. That's why both of them have phones, the 3-year-old and the 9-year-old. The 3-year-old got a phone that I could call on. My 9-year-old got a phone because I'm just, my son gets mad with me. So I'll be like, come here, anybody touch you? Anybody down there? Nobody touch you, right? And he'll be like, no, mom, stop asking me that. Because that's how I am. But I think it's a beautiful thing if you can find a real man to love your kids and, yeah.
But, like, what advice would you give to another young woman that is dating another guy that is being introduced to somebody, that's introducing somebody to their kids? Like, what kind of advice would you give? Because it was, like, no real warning signs for you.
It really wasn't, no.
Like, so what do you watch out for? Did he, this guy have a history, a violent past? Was he in the streets? There has to be...
His mom was, she was, you know, she was like, you know, a crackhead. So he had a hard life as well growing up. What I heard was he was, you know, a little office, like back in the day when he was little, because I know people who know him, but he didn't give me none of that. And I met him through his cousin. His cousin, she did, but I thought she was playing with him. Like, oh, he's crazy. And I'm like, girl, whatever. But what the advice I would give, you know, to other females and younger females is, you know, just always look out for how your kid, even if they're little and they babies, babies always are going to show. Kids are always going to show some type of action of, you know, if somebody's being mean to them or anything. So I would say always, you know, just pay attention to your kid when your kid is around them.
What do you think has hurt you most about this whole ordeal? Because we know losing a child, that's top.
Right.
But in this whole process, maybe it be the process and afterwards, or the aftercare, or maybe people being there for you, not being there for you, or just what do you feel like has hurt you most about this whole ordeal?
I feel like what hurt me most, of course, is losing my child, you know that, but what really hurt me the most is that somebody that we took in, my mom, all that, like, I let you have my kid, trusted you that you would really do something like that, you know, take my daughter's life. Also, what hurt me the most is that I can't go on, you know. Like, I'm good. Like, when I meet people, they say, oh, you're so strong, but they don't really know behind closed doors what I go through, you know? So that's what hurt me the most. It's like, my life changed. I just won't never be the same again, you know? I've always been, you know, like a rough type, but now I feel like more, I'm more rowdy, more angry. I'm ready.
Wow.
I'm ready to go, whatever. What you said, especially over my kids. Like, wow. I'm very overprotective of my kids. And so that's what hurt me the most. I just feel like I can't live life right, because I'm always have that on my head and my mind, and that's what really hurts me the most.
What do you want to come from your story?
What I want to come from this story is, you know, young girls, period, because after that happened to me, it's just like an ongoing thing. And I, even up until last year, I hear so many stories about, you know, these females leaving their kids with the guys. What I want the girls to know, like, it's okay, you know, if you need a babysitter or anything for a job interview or anything, it's okay to miss that job interview. Or if you, like, you know, or to go out, it's okay to miss the club or whatever, okay? It's okay to not have a night out with your friends. Stay home with your kids, especially if you feel like something, you know, if you feel funny, and don't ever be like, you know, you might see something and then you ignore it, like basically ignore a red flag. Do not ignore that, especially with your kid. And just, you know, I just want them to pay attention to your kids more. That's it. Not saying I didn't, but I should have, like, a little more. You know, I was young, though. I was young. My mom helped me a lot. I had a lot of help back then. So, you know, I was free to go outside or whatever because I lived with my mom. I was a teenager. You know, I'll leave the baby here. Go ahead. Go about your business. So, it's okay to, you feel me, stay with your kids, build a bond with your kids. Don't, you know, and don't introduce your kids so fast. That's what I would say to a guy. Wait like a year or so sometimes. You know, like my kids, sometimes I have company, you know, I'm single, but when I have company, some of the guys be like, you got kids?
Wow.
You say you got kids, you got kids?
Wow.
Because
you don't
see my kids.
Why? How long before you feel like you were able to party again or go out again or hang with your friends again, or, you know, do you think after that situation or even date again?
Well, for party again, it was a little minute, I would say. It was a little minute. It was like I would only do things like go meet up with my friends. We go to the house. I sing sometimes, so they had me singing. We do karaoke, things like that. It was a minute. Now I can't remember when I really got back in the club scene. Oh, one of my my old best friends, well, my best friend now, Jasmine. She was like, oh, let's go out one day, and I'm like, sure. I'm bored. I didn't have any kids anymore. I'm like, all right, come on. And we went to some place called Ebony Lounge. And after that, I just started going out. Like, yeah, let's go again. Let's go out more. I'm like, let's go more. Then that's how it started. But I will say, sometimes when I get to clubs, if I'm not, you know, drinking enough, I still get that feeling sometimes. Like, I want to go home. Like, you know, I'm not feeling it.
My name is Chris Dallas. This is Trapping Anonymous. Let's get it.